This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Got two very good guests for you today. I want to start out talking with Graham, with our good friend Graham Look from the Lansing State Journal, or Graham Couch, that is, from the Lansing State Journal. And we'll talk with Graham about what's going on. He's just a new columnist, and we're going to talk with him about the Michigan State Central Michigan game coming up on Saturday. So I'll bring in Graham and talk with him. And first, let's bring in Graham now. And hey, Graham, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing, Earl?
Okay. Hey, we got an interesting game coming up with Michigan State and Central Michigan coming up on Saturday. Is there any way you see Central Michigan might can pull an upset?
No, not this year. I've covered about as much Mid-American Conference football as anybody, and I've seen teams that on their home turf in that league could probably give Michigan State a game. I mean, this year, Michigan State's obviously better than many other years, and it might not be easy anyway, but this is not that Central Michigan team. It's a program that's down a little bit. It's not what was there in 09. And I just, you know, to pull that sort of upset, you have to have a great quarterback and you have to have playmakers on the outside more than anything else before you get to the next step. And their playmakers are better than a year ago. Titus Davis is a good sophomore, and Cody Wilson, a solid, decent receiver. But, Ryan Radcliffe is not a great quarterback and decision maker over time, and maybe he's getting a little better at that, but he's not that passer who's going to beat this Michigan State defense. There aren't many who would.
Now, do you see this Central team as slowly, you mentioned, getting better right now? They're better than they were last year, and maybe not quite as good as 2009, but you see them as a team that's getting better now under Dan Enos?
I do. I think, it's a whole different philosophy. It's a different style of football than they played before. It's different players, different talent. I mean, it was a tough, it's tough to change from the spread back to, much more what Michigan State is running now and change, they didn't have a fullback in their entire roster, and now they play with one, and things of that nature. The tight end position is different, all that stuff. I think they're getting there. I think they are better than they've been the last couple of years. Whether they give Enos time to do what he wants to do and whether he's capable, I don't think really yet. I think they are better. And, they've shown glimpses. They've been close in some games. They've had moments, and they've had some injuries in the last couple of years. And they've got a good home schedule this year where I think they have 7 home games. And besides Michigan State, they also have the rival Western, and they also have Navy at home. So it's a rare 7 home game schedule for a mid-major. I think that makes a difference. I think there is a chance for them to be competitive and enough for him to take the next step. And you hope for a coach, anybody they bring in and give a contract, that he gets a fair shot.
We're talking with Graham Couch from the Lansing State Journal, new columnist for the Lansing State Journal. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way each and every day, Monday through Friday, from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Hey, Graham, how do you see since you covered a lot of Mid-American Conference football, how do you see the Mid-American Conference overall? I know I've always stated it's a good conference, maybe not quite as targeted, as good as, of course, the Big Ten, of course, but how do you see the Mid-American Conference?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the Big Ten, especially where the difference really lies for the most part is on the lines, and especially the defensive line, and those guys are hard to recruit, and it's the reason I thought Boise would struggle to stop Le'Veon Bell last week, and they did, although they were more impressive than I thought, given they lost, their top 6 defensive linemen. And, and in the MAC, you see that a lot. Now, I will say this, 2 years ago, in the Super Bowl, there were 18 players from the SEC, 15 from the Big Ten, and 15 from the MAC. The high-end talent, the pros are there. But you just don't have the bulk, and especially on the offensive defensive lines. I mean, you know, I covered in my time at Western, you know, Greg Jennings and Tony Scheffler and Louis Delmas, you know, guys who all played there, who have had good NFL careers. A couple others who are, you know, still in the NFL now, and Central Michigan's had a bunch. And yeah, I mean, it's a good league. It's a very good league, and the parity in the league is what makes it difficult. And that's what Enos is going through right now. It's much more so than the Big Ten. It is very difficult to gain any sort of separation from other schools consistently. It's tough to have a 7-8 year run. You don't see it. What Central Michigan did with Dan LeFever at quarterback and Brian Kelly and Butch Jones is the coach there for about a 4-year span was the best run by a Mid-American Conference school since Marshall in the late 1990s. And before that, probably Miami, Ohio in the 70s. You can put together stretches. You can go 2-3 years. You can get a good group. But you don't see a 6-7 year run. You don't see a dominant thing happening in that league because there's just so much parity. And in a lot of ways, Enos took that job at the absolute wrong time. If you're going to take a Mid-American Conference head coaching job, you want to take it after a coach gets fired. He's taking over a 1-10, 2-9 program or whatever, and you know, not when a team's just had, you know, unprecedented success.
Yes, and yeah, that's a big problem if you take a team over after it's been successful, because you know most of the fans are going to want you to continue on with the success you had before. And of course, now with Dan changing that whole system, changing back to a conventional offense, that's really a tough call, isn't it? I mean, when you make a change like that, you're setting yourself up for a few rough years, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't know about. Yeah. I mean, you're setting up for a few. You're setting up for transition. How rough it has to be is scheduling and luck sometimes. But you're no question, Earl. I mean, you can't. It doesn't. You know, look at Michigan State and D'Antonio. I think nobody would argue that was the right hire now. But you know, up till 3 years ago, 2 years ago, there were probably people still doubted that. And you know, he was given some time, and it takes a minute. And you know, the problem is. You know, what D'Antonio did at Michigan State versus what Enos has done is the difference between, you know, D'Antonio had a couple 500-ish seasons, whereas Enos has had 3-9 years. And you really can only have so many of those. I mean, I think he probably has to have a 500 year this year. And, you know, I think he's got a shot at it. This week is just probably not going to go well. You know, there's a dynamic that's, you know, you got a Michigan State team, unfortunately, that didn't blow out Boise. Doesn't feel great about itself, taking some heat. For you know, it's passing game and other things of that nature, and they're going to be out to prove themselves as well. Whereas if that had been like a 50-10 blowout last week, it would have been a very different situation.
Yes, that's the thing when you don't blow a team out like you say, you know, it's a totally different situation how teams approach that next game and how players will approach that next game just because they didn't get the blowout that a lot of people thought they would. How do you see Michigan State as a team? I mean, do we know they're good defensively? I think probably the passing game is going to have to improve somewhat. But how do you see Michigan State team and when they approach this game?
Yeah, I mean, it is an important game in a sense that it's a chance to – I mean, I don't think they can beat Notre Dame without explosive plays in the passing game. I don't think they can beat Ohio State or at least beat Bolton. I don't think they can get a run and start beating good teams without that. And they need to develop that confidence, and they need to develop that execution, that timing. The decision-making, I thought, from Maxwell was actually pretty good last week. He didn't – you know, on 3rd-and-5, he got 7 yards. He went to the right place. They just didn't always connect. That's what's important this week. That's what they need to get out of it. And yeah, I think you'd rather have, you know, in a lot of ways, the quarterback they're facing is throughout his career at times has been the exact opposite. Brian Radcliffe from Central Michigan's a guy who's put up big yards, so it looks impressive, but hasn't always made great decisions with the football. Maxwell made very good decisions, I think, last week, and the execution just wasn't there. And I think you'd rather be making good decisions and needing to work on the execution than the other way around, because I don't think decision making is something that comes naturally to everybody, and it's something that can easily be fixed. So this week is interesting for that, because I think it's important that they develop confidence. I think it's important they don't run Le'Veon Bell into the ground. You know, there's a number of things that You know, those are important things that you get out of this week. They need to get some other guys feeling like they're going to touch the ball. And the defense, I think, feels like it should be a shutout-type defense, and this is a chance for them to kind of show that, too.
Okay. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Hey, when you look at the other game last week, Michigan, of course, getting beaten by Alabama. What do you see coming up in their game against the Air Force? Is that going to be another tough game, or how do you see that game coming out?
Yeah, I think Air Force is a little overrated and banged up. You know, and I know Michigan is banged up and might have been overrated too. But when you say Michigan's overrated, they're overrated in terms of being a top 10 team. I think they're certainly a top 25 team. I do think it's a game Michigan wins, probably rather easily, easier than some people think. They're selling it as Air Force being a legitimate opponent. It is a program over time that's been good, but I think that's a game, the first game in the Big House. Michigan's kind of licking its wounds, needs a victory. I just don't see that going really, really well for Air Force.
Okay, and so it looks like Air Force is probably going to get it handed to them by Michigan, and we know Michigan State should handle what is Central Michigan pretty well. How do you see this year, when you look at the other teams in the MAC from the state of Michigan, how do you see Western this year? And I thought Western was going to have a good chance against against Illinois, but they surprised me with a letdown against Illinois. So how do you see Western Michigan and Eastern Michigan?
Yeah, well, I'll start with Eastern. I love what Ron English has done there. You know, he's changed the physicality of that program, the expectations. They had a tough loss to Ball State, and again, that's parity in the league. Ball State's improved again, too, and I don't think they're going to separate themselves. They're going to have to win close games. I think they're going to be in a lot of close games, but they're a team that should be probably around 500 again. With Western, they've got a great senior quarterback. I'm a huge. I think Alex Carter would be a starter anywhere, and I've written that, and I've taken some criticism for it. But there are some pretty respected people around here that people follow that agree with me. So he did young receivers though, and they lost one to an injury, and it's similar to what Maxwell is going through in some sense, where you have this unproven receiving core. It's not the recipe to beat. You know, it's the same thing I talked about beating Michigan State. If you're Central, you have to have explosive veteran wide receivers and that can make plays, and they don't have that right now. And I think their line is better. I think their defense is better. I think in the Mid-American Conference, where their line matches up well, they're going to have a pretty good year. I don't know if it's the type of Western Michigan team that's built to have to pull the BCS upsets they've pulled in recent years. I can see them having an 8-4 year. They've got Toledo and Northern Illinois at home this year, which makes a difference in league play. So they've got a shot if certain things go right and they can get a little out of that, a little of those receivers developing. I think they've got a shot to be, at the top of the MAC, challenging in November.
That would be great for Eastern. I mean, they haven't been to a bowl game in a long time, have they?
Well, for Western, yeah. I was talking about Western, but for Eastern, it would be great for Eastern. it almost was a story last year. You know, they almost did so, and that's a really tough place to win. It's just, there's not much of a fan base. There's it's the only school really in the state that's a basketball first school, although it's got problems there too, in terms of just its following and its heritage and things. I kind of root for Eastern Michigan. It's hard not to. It's hard not to feel bad for those players sometimes when they play in front of, very sparse crowds. And, you want to see. Nobody ever wants to see a college athlete have a horrible college experience, and I feel that there's some kids who probably went to Eastern Michigan over the last decade or two that have had not so great experiences. So you'd like to see that turn around, and when you're winning, it cures a lot of things, and they're certainly competitive.
Hey, Graham, before we let you go, what do you see Michigan State? Is anything else besides getting the passing game together that Michigan State needs to do to improve on?
Well, I mean, I think they do need to, and I mentioned this a little before, they do need to find, Larry Caper needs to find his footing a little bit. Nick Hill, they need to have guys they can rely on, because You know, and they need to also protect Maxwell. You know, I think Maxwell was hit 11 times in the Boise State game. And, you know, he's the player where, I mean, this whole thing could go badly, could go awry if he were to get, you know, if he were to really get hurt. I think there's a pretty significant drop-off right now in terms of those decision-making, into the decision-making process between him and Connor Cook. I'm not saying Connor Cook's going to be a bad quarterback or whatever, but he's a redshirt freshman who, from everything, you know, we've heard and everything we've seen in the spring game, has a little bit of ways to go. I think that's the central. You got to keep that. I mean, you've got to keep that protection. You know, that offensive line has got to keep getting better, keep getting fewer hits on Maxwell, make sure he trusts them and he stays upright.
Okay. Hey, Graham, I want to thank you for joining me. Always be a pleasure. You know, we'll have you back on again talking more Michigan State sports.
All right, sounds great. Anytime, Earl.
Okay, thank you, Graham. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Graham Couch with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. 2 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
After Romney, Ryan, and Clint Eastwood's empty chair in Tampa, the First Lady, Bill Clinton, and the real President Obama take the stage at the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte. I'm Neil Conant, political junkie Ken Rudin, our panel of former presidential speechwriters, and former DNC chair Howard Dean join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
We could see some potentially strong thunderstorms this afternoon with damaging winds and large hail, a high in the upper 80s. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, a low down to the mid-60s, and mostly sunny skies on Thursday, a high around 80 degrees. I'm Kevin Lavery.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Well, let's bring in our next guest, our good friend, longtime follower of Michigan State sports, Steve Grinzel, now a Spartan blogger. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Al. How are you?
Okay. Hey, I know you're probably going down to that game coming up on Saturday, Michigan State and Central. What chance would you give Dan Enos of pulling an upset? I mean, we know he knows Michigan State and how well Mark D'Antonio coaches it, knows the players quite well. What chance do you have of him pulling off the upset?
Geez, Al, why are you putting me on the spot like that? Well, probably less than 10%.
Okay.
somewhere in there. I mean, I guess anything's possible, and yeah. We've seen stranger things happen, but I just don't envision Michigan State coming off this performance against Boise State, suffering a letdown. And I just think all things being equal, Michigan State's just a better team in terms of where they are as a program, the kind of talent they get, and it's Central's. That'd be a tall task for Central Michigan. I hope they play well, and I hope they put on a good performance. But even their best shouldn't be as good as good enough to beat Michigan State's best.
Yeah, Steve. I know about four years, maybe even 5 years ago, we were talking, especially me, about the lack of depth that Michigan State has. Now it seems like they have good depth at almost every position. They've got quality at each position, and it seems that they're getting a lot better in that area. Do you see that as well, a team that's really gotten strong in the area of depth and in getting some good speed on them as well?
Well, they have, I think that's the difference between contending for championships in the Big Ten and being an also-ran or, you know, a contender through part of the season and then falling off. It's actually the pattern that was established by Ohio State and Michigan years ago when their second strings were good enough to win the Big Ten most years. That's why the 85 scholarship limitations have been so important to bringing parity to college football. And if a team builds a program correctly and is stockpiling fifth-year players and able to redshirt its incoming freshman classes, that's how you become a championship program. And you know, it's all good because there's competition, there's a bigger pool of players to draw from. The speed, for example, that you're talking about, especially on defense and at the skill positions, kind of rises to the top. Whereas in the past, Michigan State might have had a fairly fast player in a front line position, but the backup, there might have been a big drop off, whether it was in speed or size or talent or what have you. And now those backups are equal and sometimes superior in certain areas than starters. So that's how you build a championship program, and Michigan State has done it the right way so far in that regard. I mean, they're stockpiling guys for years to come, and that's how you perpetuate it.
Yes, we're talking about sports with Steve Renzel, talking about Michigan State and how they've built that program and doing and still. You don't think they have much more building to do, do you? Or do you see this? Maybe now they've got like a running machine, or do they still have some building to do?
Well, it's an ongoing process, and until you are a perennial winner and have championships and BCS bowl games, you're still going to. There's still a lot of competition out there for talent. So, even if they arrive, even if they get to a BCS game this year, then the challenge will be to stay at that level, and it should make it easier to recruit those players because then you have a proven product that you can sell to players. But then you're competing for players that other BCS teams are going after. So. I don't think you ever arrive in football, and it's easy to drop off quickly, as we've seen in power programs across the country that have the programs you never would think would drop off have had Notre Dame's an example. Look at before you used to think that was an automatic 10-win team or better every year and a national championship contender, but if you don't sustain it, then it's a pretty quick fall, so there's always a challenge, and I don't think you ever arrive. I think Michigan State's in the best shape it's been in 40 some years, but maintaining it and sustaining it are and building on it are the next challenge. And if you can do that, then you reach an even higher level like what they're doing down in places like Alabama.
Yes. Now, Steve, when we've looked at programs in the past and see how some of them rise and some of them fall, and now, like you say, we're at a state now where we see a lot of teams that are on the rise, a few teams are falling, but overall, how do you see, basically, I know I'm going off the grid a little bit here, how do you see the state of football, especially in recruiting and getting the high school players and transitioning from high school to college?
Well, I just think that football is probably a sport where things can change quickly for something as odd as a population shift. I mean, in Michigan, whether or not they have a great class or not of high school prospects could depend on our population shrinking and these prospects' families moving to other states. So Michigan may have been a hotbed for football talent years ago, but now you might not be able to find as many good players in Michigan or other economically depressed states. And so you have to expand your recruiting territories. Some areas are probably always going to be strong. Florida's always going to be strong for talent. And I don't see the popularity of football waning necessarily. I just think things shift, and you have to be able to adapt to those shifts. So I think the Southern teams are always going to have an advantage in that regard. And even more so now that the population seems to be moving from the north to south in some regards, at least through this economic downturn that we've been suffering through.
Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We know that Michigan State's going up to Central Michigan, playing a MAC program in their stadium for the first time. That should help, Steve, as far as giving Central a little bit of a chance, to play well in this game. You know, as we know, it's hard to say how well they'll play, but at least this home game should give them a little chance, or give them a little spike, shouldn't it?
Well, I think being at home and in that atmosphere should bring out the best in Central Michigan, and I don't think Michigan State would want it any other way. So Michigan State needs to be tested again. They need to be able to show that they can play on the road. I think it's a good opportunity for Michigan State to play a road game close to home, keeping that cash flow in state instead of taking it to Florida Atlantic or who knows where. And I think it could be a win-win situation. Even if Central were to lose, it could still maybe get a bounce out of this game if it performs well, and if Michigan State prevails, then they will have used it as a building block game.
Okay, we got Victor on the line, Steve, and he's got an NFL question for you. Victor, how you doing?
Are you ready for some football?
Always, always ready for some football.
Okay, now tonight's game. Fortunately, I'll be able to listen to it on the radio. I've got a preset where, I live in Lyons, but, I got a station where I'll be able to pick it up on the radio because TV don't do me any good. So I'll be able to catch the game. But who do you think's the winner?
I would take the Giants tonight. I think they can open up the season with a home win. And Dallas is getting better. A lot of people are pulling Dallas for an upset, but I'm going to go with the Giants.
Oh, yeah, your producer picked him, too, and he sent you a message. So that's a conspiracy theory, man. what do you think about the Lions and the Rams?
Lions and the Rams, yeah, you got to go with the Lions. Hopefully they can get a win.
And what do you think? What do you think the Tigers' chances of starting to put together a winning streak and pulling out this division?
Well, that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough to do.
I think it's remote.
Okay, now,
if they win today and Chicago loses, they're going to be tied for first again. Then they play the Angels. I think the most crucial series of the year is going to be the series next week when Chicago and Detroit play that four-game series. That's going to decide that division.
Okay. Hey, thanks. Thanks a lot, Victor. And, yes, we're going to continue talking on with Steve. And, Steve, we haven't talked much baseball yet, but, I think the Tigers, as much as everyone thought they were going to win the division at the beginning of the year, I see it as being pretty slim now.
Well, I don't know if it's slim. I just think it's perplexing. Why can't they ever get their hitting and their pitching in sync?
Yeah, that's
the
problem.
I don't have the answers because, mm-hmm. Nobody has the answers, obviously, but they're just a difficult team to – just when you think they've turned the corner, they slide back down.
Yeah, they slide back, exactly. Yeah, they're a very inconsistent team, but they've been that way all year long, so I don't know if they ever can shake that inconsistency.
Well, I think they can because certainly they have the tools to do it. I mean, they can hit and they can pitch. Yeah. They just can't do it at the same time.
That's the problem.
So if they can ever get it together, and I think they will because I'm an optimist, but then they should be able to streak home, but who knows if that's going to happen because they are – they're so inconsistent. It's hard to make any predictions on this team.
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, that hitting, we thought this would be a hitting machine, and at times they have been a hitting machine. But there are times, just like last night, you know, they can't hit the broadside of a barn. I mean, two runs, four hits last night, and I thought most people thought it would probably be a seven or eight runs a game a night, basically, for the Tigers. And, boy, these guys, you know, sometimes they can hit lights out, and then sometimes the light goes out on them.
Well, that's all Leland's fault. Cause,
yeah.
You know, he's holding the bat for him. So.
That's true. That's who everybody blames him. It's Leland's fault that the Tigers are so bad, or playing so bad, that is. And I'm not one to blame the manager, but, you know, because he like you say, he can't get up there and hit for those guys or pitch for them. But yet and still, for some reason, we all think that the manager is the primary reason when a team doesn't go well.
Well, yeah, and that's why he gets paid the big bucks. Getting that out of those guys, that's his responsibility. And I guess if they're not getting it out, even though they're professionals, that they're getting paid a lot of money to do what they're trained to do and have the talent to do, somehow or another, it's up to the manager or the coach to get it out of them. I guess that's why people are called fans. Because they fan the flames of discontent.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good way of putting it, yes. Fanning the flames. Hey, and you know, if Michigan State doesn't do well, we've seen it in college football, the fans certainly you're fueling the flames. And a lot of times, the fans fuel the flame if you don't win by a big enough margin or win by the way fans think they should win by.
Well, I thought the reaction to the Boise State game was interesting in that respect because it, for all intents and purposes, the game should have been a lopsided win for Michigan State, if not for some mistakes and just some strange occurrences. And there's some areas that are worthy of criticism and need to be corrected, but you know, on the other hand, if they make one less turnover, if they score one more touchdown instead of giving up the ball, if they don't commit a penalty that sets up a field goal, I mean, the game's almost could have been a runaway. So it's always interesting to watch how fans react and overreact, and rarely do they underreact. So
that's true.
I guess that's a good thing, though. That's called passion, I think, in another is a euphemism for those kinds of reactions.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, Steve, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And I know we'll talk again this week, next week, about Michigan State sports.
All right, Earl. Anytime.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
yeah, bye-bye. And that's Steve Grenzel talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. The time is 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Busted twice for marijuana, Rachel Hoffman agreed to wear a wire for the police. She set up a drugs and weapons buy, but the cops lost track of her, and she was murdered. Now her parents want to make sure nothing like that ever happens again. I'm Neil Cunningham. The fight to protect confidential police informants. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Our forecast for the rest of the day looks like a stormy one. Some storms could be severe with damaging winds and large hail, highs in the upper 80s. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid-60s, and then a mostly sunny day on Thursday with highs around 80 degrees. I'm Kevin Lavery.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Let's go to the phones, and we've got Ray on the line. Ray, how you doing?
Oh, I wanted to talk to your two guests, but I'll talk to you about this. Hey, did Air Force win their opener?
Yes, they did.
What was the score? Do you know who they played or whatever?
Let me see if I can look it up for you.
I just wonder if they were any good this
year. Oh, they say it was a blowout. They won 40. They scored 40 points.
Who'd they play?
A smaller class Iowa team.
Okay, because they've had some decent teams in the past. I just wonder how good they were supposed to be.
Well, they're supposedly not as good as they've been in the past this year. They say they're not as strong, but they're strong enough to beat the team that's played them. So we'll just have to wait and see how they do this week.
Well, this is the formula beating Denard Robinson. He's a two-star player. He's not that good a player. He throws a long pass real good, but if you can force him into throwing in-between passes, corner routes, slant routes like that, he's not that good at it. Alabama, what they did, they didn't make any pass rush. I wondered through three quarters why they didn't have a pass rush. They were all staying in their lanes, and then if he tried to run the ball, they punished him.
Yeah, that's what you want to do. You want to punish him when he tries to run. But I think he's a better passer than what you say he is. I think he's a better passer, and I think we'll see that in the coming weeks.
Well, he did have two great long passes. I'm not saying he's not good at the long pass. I'm talking about if you look at his over his career, if you get him in a situation like throwing a out route or a 15 to 20 yard pass, he's not that good at it.
Well, that's why you're practicing. He's been practicing a long time. I think you'll see a much improved Denard Robinson this year.
Yeah, but you know what Alabama did? They didn't pass rush all day. They stayed in their lanes, so they didn't let him run the ball.
Yeah.
A lot of Michigan fans are telling me, well, he didn't run the ball enough. I said he couldn't run the ball enough. When he did, he had people. He couldn't get more than 9 yards because they were punishing him.
Yeah, they were. That's for sure.
But I don't know if your defense is that good, like Alabama's.
Well, no, Alabama is tough. I mean, they're just tough. They're almost a different team.
I did like your defense. I didn't think your offense was much in that Boise State game. But a couple of those turnovers wasn't that quarterback's fault either. The receivers have got to learn how to catch the ball, not let it go right through their hands to the defensive back.
Right. That's part of the game. So, yeah, they've got to get better, no doubt about that.
Have a good day, buddy.
Okay, you too, Ray. Yep, bye-bye. Give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And, Aaron, what did you think of that Michigan State game and how they played against Boise State and also against the Michigan game against Alabama? I just seem to think that Denard was a little bit better than what Ray was saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ray is right, though, that they played him how you're supposed to play him.
Yeah.
You know, you basically, if you get him out of the make it so he can't run,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you force him to pass. He hasn't proven that he's an excellent quarterback by any means. He is a good quarterback. Like you said, I think he'll improve as the year goes. I mean, most college players do. But he's not going to face a defense like that probably the rest
right,
of the
that's
season.
That's the thing, yeah.
So the fact that he faced a defense like that at the beginning of the season probably bodes well for him and the team. But that doesn't mean just because he's not going to face a better defense doesn't mean that he's not going to face a defense that knows how to play him well. He might encounter a Michigan State defense or another team's defense in the Big Ten that knows how to play him, and then takes him out of the run game. But once they get their the running back in the swing of things, that might change things as well. Michigan versus Alabama, that game. Well, I mean, that was just kind of a, I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, it was just they really had no shot to win that. So, and as far as the Michigan State Boise State game, I mean, I think it was kind of what we expected. The offense was going to struggle. Running game, obviously, that was solid. And defense, they held their own. They had a few mishaps here and there. But, I think it was a good first game to get under their belt, get the win. That's what counts. And I expect Michigan and Michigan State to improve, though.
That's for sure. Both teams should improve. And just like we expect Central Michigan to improve, but of course, Central's got to play a strongly motivated Michigan State team. But I still think we'll see an improved Central Michigan team. Unfortunately, they're going to run into Michigan State. They've got to play them this week, but that's just part of football and the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's unfortunate for CMU sometimes, but you know what? If you're in a program, CMU, you know, they have a good program. It's not like there's some, you know, low, you know, MAC team or anything. They have a good program. You know, each year for them is sometimes better than others, obviously. But for, you know, CMU, it's good that you play these tougher teams. Then you can really assess how good you really are. And you really can say to yourself, okay, well, we hung in there with them, or we got smoked. You know, obviously we got to work on these things. You know, playing tougher teams really brings out your weaknesses for sure. And so then that way you know what to work on for sure. Sometimes if you play a lesser team, it's difficult to, if you walk all over them, it's really difficult to assess your weaknesses.
Yes,
so when you play these tougher teams, then you can really analyze your weaknesses, and thus hopefully we'll be able to improve. For Michigan State, when you come in playing a lesser team like this, I think the key is to really focus on, okay, what did we do last week? Knowing that we're playing a lesser team, let's work on those small details while we can, you know, until we get into the conference games where we play a tougher team. So I expect Michigan State, you know, they should be able to handle the game pretty well, but I expect them to maybe focus on certain things that may not make it seem like a much of a blowout, but, you know, that way it allows them to work on the things that they need to work on.
Okay. Give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR. We've got Aaron Young with us today. He's our board operator, and we're talking sports right here on AM 870 WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Aaron, we talked about, you know, the Mid-Am conference there, quite a bit about them today, Eastern Michigan and also Western Michigan and Central, and, you know, all the big teams in the state of Michigan, and it's amazing. The state of Michigan has so many Division I teams in it, and a lot of the fans go out and support those Division I teams. I see Eastern Michigan as a team that's on the rise. They're getting better. Western is almost is there, but you know, unless their quarterback plays well, that's a team that struggles somewhat. So how do you see the Eastern and Western as they continue in this season? I mean, we've got Eastern the week after, a couple of weeks. So the week after, of course, Notre Dame, then we have Eastern Michigan on the schedule. So how do you see these other teams, or do we have to see more of them?
You know, I think you have to see more of them. I don't think Eastern's record last year was that good, right? I don't believe it was that great. You know, I haven't really assessed their team this year. I mean, I would hope that they're a team that is improving. Western Michigan, you know, I think Western Michigan has been on the uprise for quite a while. Obviously, they got a great quarterback. You know, that's another team that, you know, you want to see all, you know, Western, Central, Eastern. You want to see all them really do well. Obviously, Central and I think Western have done well the last couple of years, and hopefully Eastern can get there too. You know, sometimes, though, as our guest said earlier, winning can kind of cure everything. I think everyone knows that. But, you know, if you don't win, then sometimes you don't get the support. And then, unfortunately, when you don't get the support, you don't get the recruits because no one's supporting you. And so it's kind of like one of those trickle-down effects. But then if you win, then everything else is kind of one of those up effects. So, you know, if the teams can turn it around, some of these, especially I think Eastern is probably the lowest of them all, you know, I think they can come around, and you know, if all three teams can be competitive in the games they play, I think that's great for the state of Michigan, because then you got Michigan State, Western, Eastern, Central Michigan, and they're all, you know, if they can all be, you know, top teams in their sort of divisions in the games they play, well, that bodes well for the state.
Oh, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, you know, we're in the strength in the middle of football season, and I know you're a golfer and a big-time golfer, but what do you think about the Ryder Cup?
Well, I think it's a fun little tournament they have, that's for sure. I mean, if you look past it, you know, back at, you know, past Ryder Cups, I mean, you know, some of them obviously have been just some of the most tremendous golf you ever see, just because I think it's, you know, it's basically, you know, obviously it's the Americans versus the international players, but man, it's an excitement to watch. The players really get into it for whatever reason. They just, you know, it's kind of like the Olympics sometimes, you know, you just that pride of your nation, that kind of deal. So you know, it's an exciting thing to watch. You know, Davis Love III, he picked his captain's picks yesterday as well. So, you know, U.S. has got their team all solidified. But, you know, right now golf is focusing on, you know, the playoffs right now. They got the tournament this weekend and then the final one in 2 weekends. So, you know, I think the players right now are focusing on that for those that are in it, which I think is all of them as far as the American side is concerned. And then, you know, the Ryder Cup. So I'm looking forward to it. I think a lot of people do in golf. It's not a tournament that a lot of you know, it's not. I don't know if they get paid. I don't know what the. I would have to look back at it, but I don't know what the pay is. If there is any pay, it's just basically it doesn't count towards the PGA side of things. So, but nonetheless, it's an exciting time for golf.
Well, let me ask you this: should golf be an Olympic sport?
Yes, because it is now because it's coming back in 2016. I haven't looked it up yet. How they're going to play it? How they're going to do it. I don't know if they have that solidified yet, but they could do numerous things as far as the Olympic sport is concerned. I'm not sure how they would do qualifying. Obviously, there's lots of players in the international golf world. Obviously, there's lots of players just on the PGA Tour alone. I'm not sure how they would go about qualifying for that, and I'm not sure exactly if there's golf courses that they would have to basically build just for the Olympics. I think there's lots of questions to be answered, but I think it would be an exciting time because, I think as much as, you know, players are used to golfing, you know, 4 days out of, a weekend tournament, assuming that you make the cut, I think the Olympics would be a completely different change from what they're used to, thus making it much more challenging for the top players in the world.
Yes, it certainly would, and that's the thing. Would you have cuts and everything, or just if you have, say, 100, two golfers from each country, you might end up having 100-something golfers in there, but would you have to still have cuts and everything and for the golfers to make it in the tournament?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you look at all the, the countries that were in this year's Olympics. I mean, Summer Olympics, I mean, there's, I don't know how many there were. I think there was well over 100 or something. There's a lot. But you're right. I mean, it depends how many. You got to have some sort of qualifying, that only so many from each country. But, I mean, there's got to be a qualification, you know, rounds or something to even get you in there. Once you're in, then you're in. And then, I don't know how they would play it out. I don't know if they do one tournament, if they do a couple tournaments, and you keep advancing, kind of like the PGA FedEx Cup playoffs is like. You know, they keep cutting it down a little by little each weekend. They do it that way. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know if this is the first time. Is this the first time that golf has been in the Olympics? I
think it would be. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they did it way, you know, many years back or anything, but. You know, I think the first year that they do it, I'm sure there's going to be some problems that they're going to have to change for the following years. So, but nonetheless, at least it's in the Olympics.
Yes, that's for sure. So we'll be seeing golf in the Olympics played. Now, I've never been a big fan of amateur tennis or the tennis players getting into the Olympics because they have the Davis Cup. They have their events, amateur events, and a lot of it's centered around the Davis Cup. So even though golf is a sport that, you know, they hardly ever have anything that just deals with amateurs, they have amateurs in there. Or should it be made basically just for all amateurs? Should it be an amateur, or should it be the pros like they made the NBA? Letting pro basketball players play in the Olympics. I'm not a big fan of that, but they made that so for the Olympics to be. I think the Olympics are supposed to be or should be an amateur sport, or mostly about the amateurs and the kids playing in, but not the professionals. But that's my take on it. So what's your take on it? I'm not a big fan of tennis being in the Olympic Games, but a lot of people do like it.
Yeah, I mean, as far as tennis being the Olympic Games, honestly, I don't think there's people that care about it, but I just don't think it has the excitement that when it comes to these majors like the U.S. Open and so on. As far as letting the pros in, I don't mind it, only for the fact that if you look at if you only let the amateurs in, no one knows who these people. I mean, the majority of people don't know who these amateurs are. Will they know maybe after Olympics? Sure. Will they remember them 4 weeks after Olympics? Nope. that's the thing. So if you let the pros in, you have people that are known worldwide. So let's take golf, for example. You know, Tiger Woods and some of the other top players. People know these players. You look at basketball. People know LeBron James. People know Kobe Bryant, so on and so on. You know, they're known on an international scale. But these amateurs players, they don't. So, you know, especially in the winter sports, so you look at, like, hockey, you know, the U.S. takes the U.S. professional players. Sometimes they might put an amateur player here or there that's really good. But if they were to be all amateur players, I mean, they wouldn't, you know, no one would even care because there's probably going to be a lot of mistakes and, you know, these guys aren't even pros yet. So I think it is wise to put the professionals in. And, you know, as far as tennis, to go back to your point about tennis being the Olympics, it's just not that exciting because, frankly, I think a lot of the players, they just don't put the effort into it because they really – I mean, it doesn't really do anything for their career. I think they would rather focus on the majors. So, you know, tennis might be – you know, each sport's a little bit different. You know, there's certain sports that, frankly, that's the only time for them to get some recognition is in the Olympics. So I think each sport's a little bit different.
Okay. Hey, give us a call or come back and join us tomorrow. Talk more sports with us right here on AM 870. Well, the NFL season starts tonight. I know you're all excited about the NFL season and pro football getting underway.
Yeah, I'm just glad I don't have any money to put down because I don't want to go bankrupt because I'm sure I'd be wrong in a lot of my picks. Yeah, I'm excited for it to start. I'm expecting, as I said earlier, Giants to win tonight, but I'm really looking forward to the Lions game versus the Rams on Sunday. And then the following weekend, that's going to be a heck of a game versus the 49ers. So, I can't wait for the season to start. I'm just hoping the Lions can get a running game going.
Yes, they need to get a running game going, and they need some defensive backs so they can stop the other team's passes. I'm not all that confident that they have the defensive backfield is good enough.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I just that means the defensive line is just going to have to step it up, and they're going to have to play kind of work. That's obviously going to be their strength, and they're going to have to use that the best of their ability to make sure that. If they do their job well, that it'll kind of lay off the secondary a little bit in the defensive backs. I can give them a little bit more breathing room because I'm in agreement. They got some holes there that they need to fill.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Aaron. And hey, I want to thank you all for listening and thank you for calling. And invite you to come back and join us tomorrow. Right here on AM 870 WKAR. We want you to listen and give us a call each and every day between 1:05 and 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR in East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. So come back and join us tomorrow. We'll talk more sports with you right here on WKAR. And do that. Spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every single day right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a safe and pleasant evening. We'll see you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.